Did you ever wonder why we need 8 hours of sleep? Did you ever wonder why we need 4 hours of sleep? Did you ever wonder why we need sleep at all? Some people seem to be sleeping all day long. They just go around in days. But did you ever wonder about that? Think about it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Did you ever wonder why we need 8 hours of sleep? Well, you divide your day up into 3 8-hour segments, and what you got? 4 8s are 32, 3 8s are 24, 2 8s are 16. So, 3 8s are 24. That's a full day, and 1 8 is 1/3. That is 8 hour time is a third. So, a third of our life we're spending sleeping. Now, to me, that sounds interesting. What is it that we do while we're sleeping? Well, scientists who do sleep research tell us that our deep sleep, our deep REM sleep, is only for a very short time. And our sort of general sleep, which is of very little benefit, is most of the time. Now, it would seem to me that we could have a pill that would be deep REM sleep. We immediately take the pill, deep REM sleep. We lay down at 8 o'clock in the evening, take our deep REM sleep pill, and we wake up at 9:30. We're all done. We've got in our deep sleep, and our body is completely refreshed. Our whole being is completely at ease and at peace, and you have an hour and a half. Now, that's a lot better than 8 hours. That gives you quite a few hours to do other things, you know. Now, I have had it as an experience for me quite often that I would wake up early in the morning and look at my clock wrong. This morning I woke up at 5:30 and I got up, got myself ready for the day, and then I looked at the clock again and I saw that it only said 2:30, not 5:30. And I said, well, that's silly. So I laid down, went back to sleep for another 3 hours. So did I need it? When I woke up at 5:30, I didn't feel like getting out of bed. I just felt like sleeping the day away because I had lost my momentum. I overslept. I went beyond what my body needed, what my being needed, and I was acclimating myself to a whole different program, which is silly. So, throughout my lifetime, when I wake up is when I get up. And I don't usually look at a clock. I just get up, and it's still dark out, I turn the lights on. And then I do whatever I'm going to do. And sometimes, when I wake up like that, I think, hey, I was thinking about reading a book, I think I'll read a book. I don't often take time to read the books that I like to read. And so, I'm very refreshed, I'm very alert, I'm very awake. And I read the book, and I'm very relaxed. Or, I say, hey, I have 3 hours before I'm getting up, and I'm going to do my mail. I'm going to answer some of my mail. And so I sit down and answer it. This morning, when I did get up, I sat at my computer, and I said to myself, I have a lot of junk on there. And before I start my day, I should get my junk off my computer. So I started taking the junk off the computer, and I pressed the buttons and did things, and then a little colorful circle started circling around. What is this all about? I didn't do anything, you know. I was just deleting different emails that came through that were not valuable. And I get sometimes 5 or 6 of my thought for today's. And so I'm deleting all the extra, just keeping one, you know. So what happens? I get that red circle. So then I shut the machine off. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. And I'm not going to sit there for 20 minutes and let that circle go, and maybe it'll stop, maybe it won't. And so I turn the machine off and turn it back on again, and the circle's gone. So then I just control A, and I mark everything as having been read, and then I don't get the circle anymore, because I'm not always sure what I've read. But I know, because I know what I'm doing. And so we are oftentimes doing silly things. We do silly things. We have, like Brian, he calls up right in the middle of our morning talk here when the phone rings, and he says, "Well, I'm going to be a little late today. My wife and I are having a good time." And so then we say, "That's fine. All is in divine order." And we go back to our activity. But right in the middle of my talk, But does that bother me?
No.
I just ask you, I say, "Where was I?" And you tell me. And so then I go back to where I was. Now, what is that all about? That's like waking up in the middle of the night and not getting up. Now you say, "Well, the doctors tell us we should have so much sleep. We should do this and we should do that." Well, that's true. That is categorically true. And that is emphatically true. And that is eternally true. And that is as true as it is with anything else that is constantly changing. The need of our sleep is constantly changing. They say little children need to have lots of sleep. They don't need lots of sleep. Little children need sleep when they need sleep, but they don't need lots of it. When a little child wants to go to sleep, he just lays down and goes to sleep. When he gets up, he's ready to go to work. He's ready to go play again. He's ready to go have a good time. And then when he's tired, he goes down. And Grandpa, too. Grandpa's retired, and so if he wants, he just goes sit in his chair and falls off to sleep. And then the grandkids come in, start hollering around the room. He's, "Oh, hey, you guys here? How wonderful." And he's wide awake and he's having fun with them. And then after they've all had a good time together, the kids just drop on the carpet and Grandpa drops in his chair and they all take a nice nap. And then they're getting ready for supper, you know. But the thing is, we don't need a lot of sleep because of needing sleep. Our body wants a break when we have taxed it, when we have worked it over, when we have done a lot of exercise. Now, what do a lot of men like to do on the job, especially workmen who work for the construction or physical activities? They have their lunch break. Well, their lunch break, they eat their sandwich quick, and then they lay their head back down, fall sound asleep. And then about 2 minutes before they're supposed to get up, start to work again, they wake up. A little bit of shake their heads, feel like a new man. Well, that hour or a portion of an hour of sleep does them more good than a whole night's sleep, because it's at the time when it's important for them to have it. It's at the time when their body seems to call out for it, to take a pause, to take a break. Now, we look at what the doctors have told us, and the doctors tell us that we must have 8 hours of sleep, and we must have this, and we must have that, because it's good for us. Then, the athletes who are training for their athletic activities are running. And then their trainer says, "Come on, you get your second wind." "From where?" "But you get your second wind. It's from your mind." And then you get your third win and fourth win. And how do you really win the game? By not taking any wind, just going. And your concentration is not on the need for wind, not on the need for breath. You know, you're breathing hard. The concentration is on loping. When you lope along as an athlete, when you lope along as a gazelle, you can just do tremendous things. The jaguar, as it flies through the jungle, and as it runs so quickly and so beautifully, what is happening? The jaguar, while it's doing these things, he's loping along, and he's just having himself a great old time, just doing great and wonderful things, and thinking that that is just the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, Ellen, if you want to get my shoe from Rex, just say sit. Okay. And thank you, Rex. Rex always likes to say, "Oh, your shoe is on the floor. It's time to play." And I must teach him that that's okay, but it's not okay. Now, we have we have all sorts of games that we play in life. And these games that we play are games to do what?
To have fun.
To get attention. Mm-hmm. Not to have fun, because everything we do is having fun. And everything we do is a game. But the thing is, it's to be yourself and have fun. Now, the doctors cannot come out and say what they are trying to say. They say, well, you don't want to overtax the body, you don't want to overstress the body, you don't want to overpull the body. Well, that's true, you don't. But if you think you're going to tax the body, overstress the body, pull the body, then you're going to do that. And then your body is not going to work properly. Then your body is going to ache and pain. And this is what the trainers and doctors and say, oh, your body's going to ache and pain. You're going to feel this tomorrow. You're going to feel... Well, why say that? That's silly. Just say, you work so harmoniously with your body. You work so harmoniously with running and flowing. And do you really think that jaguar has muscle spasms? No way. Do you think that muscles in that jaguar's legs ever get tired? Oh, he may do a great deal of running and then relax for a while, but it's not tired. It's just that the motivation to continue running is not there.
Motivation.
And when the motivation is not there, then he'll get tired. Not that he gets tired, he just slows down and just takes it easy, you know. Now, this is what our athletes do. When the motivation is there, they can do fantastic things. And when there's no motivation, then they feel sick, they feel tired, they feel weak, they feel their ligaments have been pulled and so forth. You take the great people, even our Tiger Woods, and the great golfer, and he's good. Now, truly, do you think he has tired muscles every day? Do you think that after playing a game of exquisite golf, doing everything absolutely perfect, that he's tired?
No.
He's not tired. His muscles are not tired. His body's not strained. You see, what the doctors really want to be telling us is when we have a mental attitude that strains our body is strained. When we are relaxed and peaceful. The doctors will come up to you and say, now there, we're going to give you a shot to relax. Well, okay, we'll give you a shot to relax. Now, why not take a mental shot and relax? To say, and you can, I am peace. Deep breath, let it all out, and say, I am peace. And all of a sudden, all the tension in your body goes away, all the muscle spasms go away, but the masseurs and the doctors don't tell you that, because then they don't get any business. They want to get business to give you muscle relaxants and give you shots and give you massages to relax your muscles. All you got to do is just lay down and die, and your muscles are all relaxed. No, dying isn't so cool, but you lay down and completely relax, just like you're dead. When an animal is being chased, a wise animal, and he can't beat whoever is chasing him, he just falls down and plays dead. Well, the animal that's chasing him wants to chase. And if there's nothing to chase, this animal is going to say, "Pshh, the heck with him," you know, and go on his way. And, oh, there are scavengers, like some kind of falcons and birds and so forth, hawks, that scavenge on animals, and so the animal's not going to try to play dead in front of one of those guys. But in front of the average prey type of animal, he can play dead, and they won't pay attention to him. Now, we play dead in our body, just, you know, and it's over with. A little child, full of energy, full of energy, full of energy, poof! All gone. The tank was empty. So he laid down and he pumped up his center. You know, he was in his sleep. And in 10 minutes sleep, 20 minutes, he's back to the high gear again. And this is true for us. do we need 8 hours of sleep? I'm not saying don't do it or do it. I'm not saying go against your doctor's directions or whatever he tells you to do. I'm just telling you, in truth, you don't. But if you think you do, you sure better do it. If you don't think you can walk on the water, you better take a boat. You know, no matter how spiritual you feel or how wonderful you feel or how illumined you feel, if you can't do it. And the same with healing. I have people constantly, and including staff here, who have healing needs. And they don't want to come and tell me their healing needs because they say, I don't want to hear it. Well, of course I don't want to hear it. I want to hear your healing experiences. I am whole and perfect. I am filled with vitality, life, and all that good stuff. And that's what I want to hear. But if you come to me and say, oh, I feel so terrible, oh, I feel so miserable, oh, I feel... Oh, that is something self-inflicted upon yourself. You say, no, it isn't. That's what I am. Well, of course, and you're recognizing it and you're inflicting it on yourself by reiterating it and regurgitating it. Now, do you want to do that? And the answer is yes. And that's why you do it all the time. The moment you'll stop this regurgitation, you'll stop this reiteration of the appearances and start the speaking about the truth, then you are doing wonders for yourself. Then you're experiencing wholeness. As long as you say, I've got to have these things, I've got to have that, and then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if somebody comes along and says, here, do this, and you say, I don't want them, it can't help you even if you take it. Mm-hmm. If someone says, take a pill, and you say, I don't want it, the pill wouldn't do you any good because you have cut off all of your receptivity to the pill's ability to help you. Now, if I say to you, take this pill, and you will feel like jumping out of bed and running down to the store and having an ice cream sundae and so on, you just feel great. Really? Give me one of those pills. Mm-hmm. And so we give them one of these placebos, and they take that placebo, and they say, yeah, oh, I feel so good. Mental. That's what the majority of life is. You got a broken leg, that hurts. And it has to be pulled tight and mended. It could be mentally put to right, but mentally you were putting it to wrong when you made it happen, you know. So perhaps it would be a little more difficult to say my leg is whole and perfect. But once your leg is set, once your leg is in order, you know, say it's whole and perfect, and the healing is quick. Or if you're without a doctor, then you just do what has to be done. You take your leg, your foot, and you tie it to a tree. And then you crawl away from the tree so that your leg is straightened out. And then you lay there and be unconscious. You lay there for a short time, and healing begins to take place in a straight leg, and you're okay. Or some people take a stick and or two sticks, and they tie it around their broken leg to keep it straight, you know, so that it can heal properly. And could you do that while you have broken it and you're in all that pain? Well, you say, I have no pain. You say, that's impossible. Pain's pain. No, it isn't. Pain is not pain. Pain is recognition by your consciousness that you have pain. Now, if you have the ability like a dog does, who can cut off that pain and crawl under the porch and let it heal, you know, you do have that. We do have that, but we have trained ourselves out of it. We've trained ourselves out of many instinctual things. We trained ourselves out of the ability to think that we can lay down for 10 minutes and we'll have slept the whole evening. And we can. We can do that. But do you want to? Mm-hmm. Do you sort of like this coziness of cuddling into the bed and laying there snuggled in your blankets for a while and say, oh, this feels so nice, especially if there's sheets that are made of silk and stuff like that, you know, and you sort of snuggle into it, you know, like the last holiday, you know. And she just loved those silk sheets in that lovely hotel. But the thing is, it's all about what you like. And if you like snuggling in the sleep, don't say it's going to sleep. Say, I'm snuggling in these silk sheets, you know.
What a waste.
And what do you say when you dive into a swimming pool and the pool is reasonably warm? You say it's kind of cool at first, but then you get used to it and it's warm and you just sort of float in there and you say, oh, it feels like heaven, you know. Well, now, Mentally, you can float in heaven anytime you want. Mentally, you can have all the sleep you want. Mentally, you can have all the things you want, depending upon what you want. But if you're going to go around saying, I've got to have this, I've got to have that, well, you can be sure you've got to have it, or else you will not be happy because you put that cause in motion for yourself. And the time is now for us to put the cause in motion for what we really want. And what do we really want?
Wholeness and perfection.
What we really want is just to be ourselves and have fun. Now, Ellen?
We don't want anything. We are.
Ellen, if I say I want to be whole and perfect, then we got a problem.
Right.
If we say I am being myself and having fun,
yeah.
Well, what does that mean? That means I'm in a perfect body, I'm in a perfect mind, I'm in a perfect world, I'm in a perfect everything, you know. Wonderful. Just like Shirley Rose's dissertation, or the thesis rather, that she wrote. That's very nicely done. And she was recognizing all the way through that she was living from her perfection stuff, her perfection self. And that's pretty wonderful. So, you can do that too. And you can do that anytime you want. If you wake up, get up. If you are feeling sleepy, lay down and sleep for a minute. But I'm driving the car, stop and pull off the road. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be further ahead if you do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of advertisements. Oh, I tell you. When people are running out of interest in cancer, then they start saying, well, you got to improve the eyes. You got to improve this. You got to improve that. There's new stuff coming into the internet every single day, and if you are paying attention to it, you'll think that you're just a wreck. You're a wreck, and I guarantee you, you're not a wreck. You're wonderful. But the thing is, if you read that stuff, you will think you're a wreck, and you will think I could be better. And it says night driving for elderly people is more difficult. Well, that's because elderly people have not learned to relax their eyes. Elderly people have a tendency to squint their eyes and tighten their eyes as they're looking out into the night and trying to see in the dark, you know. Well, of course your eyes will get tired. Of course you'll lose. But if you just palm your eyes for like a minute or two, and then if you'll just say to yourself, I have perfect eyes. I have perfect eyesight. I have perfect eyesight for a minute or two. And then go on driving and forget it. You'll drive just like an ace, just like a young person with beautiful, wonderful eyes. I loved what I read in this book by
Caesar,
the guy who wrote the book on the eyes. he said in there, and he's an ophthalmologist and all that stuff, and he said there are only a tiny percent of the people on earth who have eye diseases or eye imperfections, you know, by something. All the rest of the people, 99%, he said, or better, have normal eyes that have nothing wrong with their eyes. And what has made the mistake with their eyes is that they have not learned to relax their eyes and let their eyes work like they're designed to work. They have not learned to relax, so that the eyes will normally function, that the distance and sort of reset themselves for the vision to come on the back of the eye and sort of be seen and all that stuff. I thought that was a terrific thing. We really should make a big sign of that. It is really a wonderful realization that our eyes are just a normal muscle that's nothing wrong with it. It just wants to focus. And we focus it with tension, or we focus it with relaxation, and we don't see anything. Or if we just say, I have perfect eyes, relax, and don't even think about it. I'm reading a book, and I put on a pair of reading glasses, and then the book isn't clear. I take the reading glasses off, and it's clear. Yeah? I read the book clearly. And then I'm reading, and I'm reading an interesting book, and lo and behold, I look around me, and it's dark. And, well, what am I reading with? Where am I getting the light? Where, what's it? What? You know, it's just a dim light, if any, is coming in. And before I would say, I can't do that. But since I was in the middle of doing it, I was just relaxed and flowing with it, with my eyes in perfect harmony and sync with what I was doing. We have more beauty in our body, in our operation, than we can ever appreciate. And the sooner we begin to realize that it's not a matter of a fight to be accomplishing anything, but just relaxation. So sleep, when it's time to sleep, and when your body says they had enough, get up and go about doing what you want to do. And then if later you feel you like another nap, take it. Because nobody's complaining. Nobody's complaining. But the thing is, if you're going to stay in bed all day and all night, well then all you're doing is running away from life, and you might as well pull the covers over your head, you know. Because you're just taking no interest in life at all. And happily, I don't know any people like that. So, think about these things. Think about the number of hours you need to sleep. And decide whether the doctor that says no to sugar today and yes to sugar tomorrow, no to salt today and yes to salt tomorrow, no to eggs today and yes to eggs tomorrow, and you cannot, you have more than 2 eggs a day, you're only supposed to have 2 eggs a day, you know, and then you should only have 4 eggs a week, or you should have this and that. Well, where are they getting all this wonderful information? Who's doing this specific research? If it is the Egg Institute, you can be sure it would say to you that you should eat 2 eggs every with every meal, because they want to sell more eggs. But it depends on who's turning the key and who's running the show. And I think I'm running the show, and I love it. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.